computer technology and the internet. The show airs the first Saturday of every month and is hosted by Felicia King. To contact Felicia, go to her website, qualityplusconsulting.com.
This is WGTDHD. You're listening to Education Matters, the only weekly broadcast in southeastern Wisconsin devoted exclusively to educational issues. Education Matters is co-hosted by Guida Brown, former executive director of the Hope Council, Dr. Steve Brown, retired professor of educational leadership and school law, Dr. Karen Sconsert, chair of the education department and associate professor at Carthage College, Dr. Jonathan Shaler, professor of communications at UW Parkside, and Stephanie Skilba, Vice President for Community and Government Relations at Gateway Technical College. And now, here's today's moderator for Education Matters.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Education Matters. I'm Bob Hegarty, and I'm excited to be able to talk about something that I think is really not talked about very much, and that is some of the really good things that is happening in Kenosha Unified Schools with custodians and having the opportunity to be able to really talk about something I didn't even know existed, the Elizabeth Kane Scholarship for Women in School Facilities Management. We're going to talk about what that means and are we looking for women to get into that field? Are you interested in that field? Are you mechanical? I always make the joke that my wife put a bed together and I made dinner because I can't fix or do anything mechanically. And when she took her military exams, they were actually looking at making her a jet mechanic. There are a lot of women that are very mechanical, very spatially aware. So if you're looking for a good career, this may be something that you're interested in. We're going to be talking to Destiny Wild, a custodian, and the recipient for the first annual Elizabeth Kane Scholarship. We're going to talk about what that means, her career path, her background, what brought her here. And, of course, we'll talk about with Pat Fillmore. He's going to be able to tell us a little bit more about that scholarship. And Christy, and I'm going to do this, Escobedo?
Escobedo.
Escobedo, okay. So, and she has been the head of custodians, as well as a custodian herself. So we will be able to have that conversation as well. First of all, let's start with Destiny. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
First of all, I've got to tell you, or ask you, I should say, what got you involved in wanting to be a school custodian?
I really enjoyed cleaning, honestly.
I'm going to stop you there. Because,
okay.
I mean, why do you enjoy it? What makes you want to do it?
Just to be there working with the staff, the students, and to help create that environment that will just help them focus and really just bring good vibes to their classroom, bring a good presentation to their classroom.
And how long have you been involved with facilities?
With Kenosha Unified, I have been there 7 years. Yeah, and I did banquet setup. So I actually used to clean a banquet hall and set up for weddings and venues and, you know, other events.
So if you're at, I know you're at Reuther, is it Harborside is the other school that you're at?
Yes, Harborside Academy. Yes.
So you have both middle schoolers and high schoolers?
Yes.
Tell me about that.
The middle schoolers are definitely a little more rambunctious than the high schoolers, but...
That's a tough age.
Oh, yes. It's a very tough age. You know, their emotions are everywhere, and they're just ready to, you know, go back to recess, and they're doing well, you
And
know?
Sometimes
they're
ready for them to go back to
recess.
Oh,
yes. Oh, yes.
Yeah. Let, let's go over to Pat. Pat, tell us the beginnings of the Elizabeth Kane Scholarship. Where did it come from?
Yeah, so it was interesting. Earlier this year, the organization is called the Wisconsin Association of School Business Officials, WASBO. And earlier this year, they had decided to do an article about both women and minorities in school facilities. And they approached myself and Chrissy, knowing that, one, I've been in the business for a long time, and two, that we actually have two of, one is since retired, Lori Krieger, but we have two of the handful of women that are in facilities leadership positions in school districts in Wisconsin. And they did the article. It got some nice traction for them, and I guess it got the organization talking about what could WASBO do to promote, an effort to try to help women move upwards in the facilities management roles in their school districts. And so they created this scholarship. And it's in honor of Liz Kane. Liz was a close friend of mine. She was with the Department of Public Instruction and was the primary contact for those kind of service areas that support school districts for a long time. And so Liz was very active in WASBO and really a great choice they made to honor her by naming the scholarship after her.
Very nice. What was the, how did you start it? How did the names, how did Destiny get put in, and how did this process go? I think I've got to go to Chrissy for that, right?
Yeah, so when WASBO first kind of said that they were going to do this, they had asked if we had any people in mind, and Destiny had been pulled from her regular duties to help us with a construction project at the old Lakeview building, and just impressed everyone there. I mean, and it was consistent with her. She is always going above and beyond, always trying to take on new tasks. And also, she trains with our new subs that come in, our new custodians that come in. So they're getting the benefit of her knowledge, and she's, getting some leadership experience in that role as well.
What's the process? When you have a name, what do you do? Where do you go from there?
So there was a nomination form and process. We submitted letters of recommendation, I think myself, and I asked two other people to do it. I'm not sure how many we ended up with. But then we submitted that to WASBO, and then they went through their selection process and chose Destiny as the candidate.
On March 3rd, by the way, so that's a very new honor for you.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Definitely. I believe February 3rd.
Was it? Okay.
Yeah.
February 3rd. Thank you. Let's talk about, I know that you're looking to be able to go back, or do you have your certification in facilities management?
I do not. This actually grants that opportunity for me.
What's it mean? What do you study to be able to do it?
Well, there's a lot of aspects to it. Going through, what is this project going to cost, and can we afford that in our budget, and between what type of chemicals we're using and what can we use to, communicating and just making it, just being a value, like, mentor and
which we all can work on.
Oh yes. Everyone has a day where they just need to relax, unwind, and do nothing.
Sure.
But when we're in these buildings, and at the end of the day, when our second shifters and third shifters go in, they're cleaning these rooms that the students are going to be learning in the next day. So it's important.
How long does it take to go through that certification process?
About a year, but I do have a year and a half to finish it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And where do you go for it? I know that in what I was reading about the facilities management background, it came out of Texas, is what I was reading.
A little bit. So we actually started our own program back in, I think it was 2001, 2002, we put it together. And we actually based it off of a program in Michigan. But I can briefly talk about the Texas influence as well. So Michigan had a program. They started in the 90s. And I was part of the SWASBO organization. I was one of the co-chairpersons for the committee. And we thought, like, we ought to offer something in Wisconsin as well. So we used the Michigan model. And, you know, I look at Christy and Destiny, say those two names together, as examples. So Chrissy went through that program. So she was a custodian in our district. She went through that WASBO certification program. And, you know, that helped give her a broad-based background that made her a great candidate to be a supervisor of custodians at KUSD. And now Destiny is starting that program, or, you know, recently started the program. And, you know, and that would be kind of a career path goal for her and the training to do that. The Texas part was a little different. That came later. I can't even recall. I'm going to say maybe 10 or 12 years ago. We had a nice thing going in Wisconsin, but we were pretty, we weren't really looking outside of our boundaries. We were developing these classes, you know, amongst ourselves, and we weren't really getting a lot of input or ideas outside of that. The Texas thing came up because they were doing something that was much broader based, and so we went down there. They actually invited us, and we went down for free to look at how they were doing things, and then brought some of their ideas back. And so we ended up expanding our program. It involves Illinois. It involves a little bit of eastern Minnesota, a little bit of eastern Iowa, and even have had folks from Missouri and Indiana come to our conferences. But that brought a greater knowledge base to the trainers in the program. So because it was not just a Wisconsin thing, I think the quality of the courses got a lot better because the people that were presenting knew that they were reaching out to a bigger audience. And so that was kind of the Texas influence. But the program's been in place, I think, probably since 05 or 06, something like that. And I want to say that there's been maybe about 500 or 600 people in the state that have went completely through the program, and it just grows every year. And it started as a way to give people a broader base knowledge of all things facilities, which I think sometimes people kind of just think, okay, what is facilities in a school? Well, that's the custodial side, it's the cleaning side, but there's also a maintenance side and a project side and an environmental
side.
And safety and security and all of those kind of things. And so that's what the program does, is that, you know, here's Destiny and her role as a custodian in our district, but, you know, she also sees that maintenance side and things, and this program just gives a little bit more of a broader background of sometimes the theory behind things, sometimes the types of equipment or types of products that people use. And the other part I think that has been, you know, because I went through the program as well, as Chrissy, is you meet and interact with people who are doing the same jobs as you in other districts, and you can learn from them.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
What do you do in School District X, and, you know, in the middle part of Wisconsin? And I think we've all brought back ideas to Kenosha from others.
Relationships, when you have the opportunity to create those with individuals over sometimes wide spans of age, sex, experience, that they come and they're able to do things differently, and you may find that to be very helpful. Or you may say, man, I'm really glad that I do it this way. And they may come to you and say, how do you do that?
Yeah. Actually, the other custodial supervisor that just retired, when did Laurie retire? End of January?
February 5th.
February 5th. Laurie Krieger was with us for quite a long time, and she came to our district from Racine. She worked in Racine Unified. I met her through this program, and when we had a vacancy, you know, she was somebody that I reached out to and just said, you know, would you consider working in Kenosha? And, you know, because I met her through this program.
Sure.
And had, you know, recognized, you know, that she had some skill sets that would really benefit our district. And, you know, I think, you know, that relationship thing is a big deal.
So I'm going to ask the ladies, because I think you bring a very unique skill set, both of you. What is unique about being a woman in the custodial field?
You don't see it often that women are working in HVAC, and you see it more in the unions, I feel, but you don't see them working in HVAC and, you know, how to care for a boiler.
Yep, HVAC is heating and cooling.
Yes.
That's okay. I just want to make sure in case our listeners weren't aware.
Of course. So that involves the care for the boilers, its chemicals, and, you know, making sure you do your blowdowns, making sure that all the water's tested, and, you know, cleaning them out during at the end of seasons, you know, to, you know, your cooling systems and caring for those. You know, it's a wide variety of maintenance that you're doing. Between maybe you might have to replace a ballast or a outlet, you might have to fix a door hinge, or, you know, it's a wide variety, and you want to try to help your coworkers in facilities. So, you know, maybe you don't want to have to call the carpenters to fix a hinge on a classroom, you know, door or cabinet. You don't want to have to always call someone to, hey, can I put this work order in, because I don't know how to replace this belt. Can you come teach me instead? And it just helps we work as a team. So I think, you know, being a woman and in facilities, there's a lot of aspects to maintenance that you don't commonly see.
Let's talk a little bit about the boiler. We were talking about Al Vittori earlier, and a dear fraternity brother of mine. And that I remember when he was going for his boiler certification. Mm-hmm. And he came over because I was helping him with the math. And we were talking, this is a big deal. If boilers, number one, are incredibly expensive. Number two, there's a safety issue with boilers that I don't think a lot of people think about.
Boiler operations class, I was told, you are taking care of a bomb, essentially.
Yeah, that's the way it was explained to me.
It's a lot of power, it's a lot of, you know, steam.
Pressure.
You know, there's a lot of variables that matter, and, you know, there's a code. You have to go, you know, you have to follow the code, and you have to have specialists come and inspect it, you know, throughout the year, and just to care for that boiler and make sure everything's running right. You have great efficiency, you know, for your building.
Give us an idea. So you do the boiler, you do, as far as maintenance, because most of our buildings, and I'm trying to think, Reuther, the annex isn't there anymore.
Correct.
For those of you that are as old as I guess I am, do you guys even know what the annex is, ladies?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So the Annex was one of the very first public high schools in the United States, and it was a very big deal. It was a building right in back of what we now know of as Reuther. The building where Reuther is now was built just before or during the Great Depression.
Just before and finished, you know, kind of wrapped up right before the Depression.
So we're looking at a 100-year-old building, mm-hmm. which, although incredibly well built, you're now getting to the point where there, and I'm making a guess here, there's going to be significant maintenance just purely because of the age. How do you see that? And how, what do you do when it comes to that?
Well, we did get a new set of boilers from the older boilers, and they run differently, and
they're much more efficient.
Yeah, they're much more efficient.
And they're much smaller.
Yes.
So I know about this just because I'm very involved in the Masonic fraternity and Shriners. We wear the funny hats in the parades. We're getting a new boiler in Milwaukee. And the boilers that you're talking about are much smaller than what when you see them in the movies.
Yes, they are a lot smaller than, you know, the older ones and the ones you see in the movies, for sure. I feel they're a lot easier to manage and work on because there's not so many aspects to it as there was with the old boilers, the lot larger boilers.
There's computers involved.
With the new ones.
With
yeah.
the new ones.
Yes.
So where does that computer is what you're going to school now? Now we're talking about... And I guess that shouldn't surprise me, right, Pat? Everything is going to computers.
Yeah, so HVAC, the technology in that facet of school facilities or facilities in general is become very sophisticated. I mean, you know, extremely sophisticated. You know, there's controls on top of controls. So we actually have a control system that we operate, and that oversees the entire building. But then the individual components, like you know these new modular boilers that you're talking about, they actually have individual controls on them that are doing all kinds of things that I don't know if any of us truly understand exactly what they all do, but they're optimizing the operation of that boiler so that they make it as energy efficient as possible, but they also are trying to make it, I think, as safe as possible. You know, that you want to have as clean a combustion as possible on that boiler so that it doesn't off-gas something that, you know, could be harmful to us, right? Correct. You know, carbon monoxide or something like that. And so the controls that are on the piece of equipment itself are more sophisticated than what we used to have, you know, running the entire school district, you know, and now that one piece of equipment has stuff that's just, it's constantly making decisions about how to optimize itself. And, you know, it's amazing. I don't know if any of us truly understand it, but yeah, that level of sophistication has gotten to, a level that is, you know, dramatically different than what it was 15, 20 years ago.
Destiny. Let's go back. Where do you see your career track now? What are the long-term goals? If you'll share them, I mean, only what you're comfortable with. But where do you see yourself in that 5, 10, 15, 20-year mark?
You know, I feel there's no detailed roadmap. But I really enjoy experiencing and learning new aspects. So, like, with this scholarship, I'm learning better ways to manage and, you know, communicate and talk with my staff and different ways of managing, you know, and different ways to be a manager, as well as the different equipment that we could use for cleaning or the different equipment that we would be using in HVAC or, you know, even the electrical. There's so many different aspects. And I Chrissy had mentioned I helped with the demo job at the old Lakeview. I enjoyed that. It was a new experience for me. I've never...
Helped. What did you do?
Yeah, so I helped basically tear down walls and, you know...
So you knocked things down.
Yeah, knocked things down, you know. I enjoyed it, but it was a lot of heavy lifting. You know, it was a lot of work. You're sweating all day. You're working hard. You're using all your muscles, you know. You have to remember, like, you have one body, stretch. You know, that's key to life is stretching, you know. Feel good in your body, you know. If you feel like something isn't right, you need to mention it or say something and work as a team saying, hey, I think this is too heavy for me to lift or what have you. But it's also making sure, you know, the electrical's out in this room so we can start, you know. It's
knocking down a wall with live electrical, maybe not a good idea.
Right, you got to know where the plumbing is, you know. You don't want to start hammering into this wall and there's a toilet right behind it. So there's a lot of different things that, you know, I've never done, but I really enjoyed it, and it was a lot of fun, and I enjoyed going there and helping out and learning new things, learning how and this tool works or what would be a better tool for that. And it was a lot of fun, you know. And I enjoyed working with the people I worked with, and
whole different experience, right?
Oh yeah, a whole different experience. But you know, you see then what, you know, the different aspects of facilities is doing and what their knowledge is. And I was working hand in hand with them a few times. I was working with a carpenter, Noonan. I call him Noonan, and he taught me a lot, and he really, you know, the way he managed and spoke to us, it was, hey, why don't you try this and let me know which way you like it better? Or, you know, the way he managed it. And same with, you know, the electricians. They were like, oh, well, here's a tester. Make sure, you know, if you're cutting this stuff down, make sure you test it first. We don't want anything to happen to you. And make sure someone's near you. You know, there's a lot of aspects to it. And I really enjoyed learning about it.
That's a unique management style, though, that you were being taught, where here's another idea, you come back and tell me which you like better, is a terrific learning method that they were helping you with.
Oh, yeah. And I think there's a lot of people, you know, we have head custodians and different leads. You know, the way they manage, everyone's going to manage differently, but the communication was there, and we have a lot of great communication, and there's a lot of bad communication. You know, everyone needs to learn, and I'm excited to experience that and learn more and be able to create connections with people at WASBO.
From personal experience, management is difficult.
Yes.
Dealing with people are difficult, and when you can learn from other people and other ideas and let you form your own style, it is something that can be very rewarding to you, and it can be helpful to someone else.
Yes.
About halfway through the program, let everybody know this is Education Matters. Today, we're going to be talking about the Elizabeth Cain Scholarship. Destiny Wild, custodian from right here in Kenosha, is the first to receive that scholarship. And with that, we have Pat, and I want to make sure it's Fenimore.
That's correct.
There we go. And Chrissy, and I'm
Escobedo.
Escobedo. There we go. Both, they were involved in putting her up for this great honor. It really is, especially as you learn more and more about it, as well as Pat and his background and how it was formed and such. And it's been really interesting. Absolutely. Destiny, this is what I remember most in school about the custodians. She looked at me and said, oh, no. No, what I remember most is the terrific relationships that they formed with the students. Tell me about that.
I enjoy my relationships with the students. It, you know, it could be just a random fist bump in the hallway, or you know, they see you're taking out the garbage and they want to offer to help or see if you need any help. And you know, a few times where you're like, hey, where are you supposed to be? Get back to class, and they scurry off, you know. It's a good relationship, and I enjoy speaking with them. And, you know, I have a few students that might come up to me and talk to me about, you know, movies they enjoy, and to, you know, helping them find, you know, their book that they left in the lunchroom, and helping them figure out their locker combination.
Oh, I bet that happens a lot.
Oh, yes. So it is nice to form relationships with them and just be buds, be friends, you know. It helps them, you know, say, oh, this is not some stranger in the hallway. I have to, you know, turn away and, like, feel uncomfortable. They can stop and say hi, or, you know, keep walking and, you know, see ya, you know, have a good day. You know, it's a good time, and you know, you just want to create that good environment for them. They don't want to feel like they're strangers in their school.
And the ages we're talking about are tough anyway.
Oh yes.
Especially that middle school, where they may not feel comfortable anywhere, including their own skin. Most of us didn't in middle school.
Right. Yeah. I mean, middle school, I think they talk a little more. High school, they're, you know, feeling a little cooler, and maybe of the pressure of, you know, they're going to be adults soon. They have to decide where they want to be next. So it's a different pace for sure between the middle school and the high school. In the middle school, they're a little talkative, but it's fine. You know, at the end of the day, you're there to help them do better for themselves and just strive.
If someone wanted to become and to go into facilities management, and I want to stress this because I don't want people to think, well, you know, they clean. That's only a small aspect
Yes.
of what you do. Mm-hmm. How would they go about doing it? Maybe Chrissy?
Well. Yeah. Generally, the track is they start as a subcustodian. So it's just application. All you need is a high school diploma, GED. So we start them as subs. They kind of prove themselves as part-time employees, and then they get into a full-time spot, generally on second shift. That doesn't require the boiler's license or any other education. And then usually at a certain point, they go and get their boiler's license. They then try to progress to head custodian. And some people don't. Some people stay on second. They don't like people so much, and they find
Sure.
it's a good place for them. So.
Well, and that's a nice thing that you're saying, too. There are numerous different types of people that either do or don't like to work with other people, and there's a mm-hmm. good position. People don't realize there's that second, or is there a third shift
Yes.
as well? That if you don't, if you're one person that you like to work with your hands, you enjoy the job part but not necessarily the people part, maybe that second or third shift could be something that would be worthwhile. Did you do second? I'm assuming you did
Yes,
second.
I was hired in on second shift, actually at Ruther and Harborside.
Did you like second shift?
I enjoyed it for a long time. I'm glad I stayed on second shift. I always said I want the day position at Ruther. I'm going to get that day position at Ruther. So, you know, I formed relationships with my staff. And, you know, hey, if you need anything, if, you know, you want to move something, you're running low on Lysol wipes, to, you know, you notice something that maybe I didn't. To just wanting to work day shift. Personally, wanting to work day shift.
So you brought up the Lysol wipes. Okay.
Yeah.
So I've got to ask, because we're only 5 years past mm-hmm. this.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about COVID. Tell me about what, as a custodian, I just saw your face.
Yeah.
Tell me the changes. Tell me what it was like during that time for you.
So, it was stressful because you were concerned for not only your own health and well-being, but the students and the staff and how to let learning continue, you know, and there's a lot of students that maybe don't do well virtual.
Right. And I wouldn't, I'll tell you that. I mean,
myself either. Because I need that, you know, the teacher there and, hey, can you help me with this one problem and be able to focus on that. And, you know, it was stressful, but I just found it was easier to manage. At that time, we were, I think, virtual or off on Fridays. So I always made sure, sanitize everything, make sure, and I would every day, but I wanted to just do a deep dive into the school, into the area, make sure I'm getting all door handles, buttons, anywhere there could be touched. So the walls, you know, that it includes so much. So I did a lot of detailed work. I would go through the railings and, you know, try to help prevent dust because we're all wearing these masks
right
throughout the day. And you know, it's hard enough to breathe with them on. So it was concerning, but I figured out a routine. I actually noticed with my school, okay, I noticed when I went around and we had Protex sprayers, it's a diluted chlorine tablet that no one could be in the classroom and we would spray and it would help sanitize, as well as, you know, going around and wiping down. Because you know, if a kid wipes his boogers underneath the table, that's not going to prevent
right.
it. You know, that's not going to erase those boogers. But just going around and making sure it's all detailed. And I noticed, you know, if I sprayed on this day, it seems like there's more kids out the next day or staff out the next day. And I found spraying all my rooms, you know, in every square inch, I'd say, on Thursdays, and it made people feel better. They knew what to expect because we still had staff coming in on Fridays, just students weren't. And, you know, making sure everything's wiped and spraying, and we had a routine where we would spray X amount of rooms each day. So I did that, and then on Thursdays, went around and sprayed everything. And it seemed the number of students and staff in my building was going down.
Interesting that you picked up on that is to your credit, absolutely. And I'm just sitting here while you're telling this, and I'm imagining the number of places that it touched. Think about this. Doorknobs, light fixtures, the desks, the wall, the chalkboard. And I'm thinking, you did this, how many people do you work with?
At my particular building,
right.
we have three night shift custodians, second shift custodians, and then two during the day, the head custodian and day custodian.
Well, I'm just going to say thank you, because that's an amazing amount of cleaning that would be done by a very small group of people.
Oh, yes. You know, we try to make sure, you know,
right.
our staff and students stay healthy. You know, we're, that is a huge part of the cleaning aspect, on top of, you know, the kid drawing little hearts and smiley faces on the desk
right.
to the, you know, maybe the line of pen or pencil across the hallway wall to, you know, the boogers underneath the table or the gum underneath the table. It varies, you know, and people get sick. It happens. You know, just earlier today I had to go and change a garbage can liner out because a student wasn't feeling well. You know, it happens. But as long as we're taking care of it right away and seeing it and noticing it, we can help prevent more people from getting sick. And that's a big thing with the cleaning aspect of being a custodian.
I've got about 4 minutes. I want to ask you what this award means to you.
It means new opportunities. It means opening doors for me. It Maybe in 10 years, I might not be with Kenosha Unified. I might be in a different district with in a different title, a different position. You know, it's not always about the title or position for me. It's more so inspiring and just getting inspired myself. And I think WASBO has inspired me. I learned a lot, and I'm excited to reach out to more people.
At some point, is management something that you would, and I know things change.
Yeah.
You like the idea?
I do. I'm a day custodian, so I do have a head custodian, and he's phenomenal. He manages the building. He manages his PMs every day as maintenance. And sometimes, you know, we conversate with each other and collaborate. And that really helps with my learning of, you know, the different systems and how things work, because I don't know all. You know, I've been here 7 years, mainly a second shifter, and there's a lot of aspects between second shift and first that you don't always see. You don't deal with all the vendors, you know, your food deliveries to, we have new computers coming in for students, or we have an event going on in our auditorium, or, you know, we have cafeteria and lunches and other things that you don't typically see on second shift. And I'm still learning that as I go.
And learning is good.
Oh, yes.
So, Pat, for Kenosha, they have the first award winner.
Yeah.
That's got to be nice.
That's awesome. You know, I think it's a testament to destiny. But I think it's also a reflection of how the state views our school district and our department the people that we have in Kenosha. And, I mean, I think Destiny's just done a great job here today, kind of showing you and your audience, you know, the type of people that we have serving our students and our staff. And we're filled with folks similar to her. I mean, I think she's a special person, but we have a lot of special people in our department that really care. And so I do think the state, a lot of folks in the state look at our district and look at our department and say, you know, this is a place that really does care about the buildings and how we present them to students in the community, and the level of care we have. And so it means a lot that WASBO recognized Destiny, and I'm excited for her, and excited for what, you know, her future might bring with the help of this scholarship.
Chrissy, you have to be happy. You were the one that put in the request, the application.
Yes, absolutely.
And that had to be nice to be able to see that the person that you thought was worthy was able to win it.
Yeah, very well deserved. I mean, I kind of thought no-brainer with all the support, like the letters of recommendation that we offered and that. And, yeah, just very happy and proud of Destiny that she earned it.
Thank you. I appreciate all the support. It really means a lot. It's what helped drive me to this point, and I was nervous about applying, but I was super excited for it. And sometimes you gotta be nervous.
Nervous just means it matters, right?
Yes, very much so.
I want to thank you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Everybody for coming. Thank KUSD for allowing us to be able to do this interview. We've learned something today, and besides the fact, a big congratulations to you. But learning about a little bit about your jobs and how important that they really are.
Oh, yeah.
Education matters. I'm Bob Haggerty. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great weekend.
You've been listening to Education Matters, heard Saturday mornings at 10:30 here on WGTD. Archive programs are available on our website at wgtd.org. Support for WGTD's local news and public affairs commitment comes from Casey Family Options, a tradition of trust. For more information, including how to get started and pre-planning, visit caseyfamilyoptions.com or call 262-653-1000.